Welcome to Explore Riverside Weekly, the show that explores all the things that makes the City of Arts and Innovation a great place to live. I'm Greg Lee, and today I'm pleased to have Dr. Ronald L. Ellis, president of California Baptist University. Dr. Ellis has been president of the university since 1994, and since his installment, Cal Baptist has seen unprecedented growth. In fact, this year, the university has set an enrollment record of 6,031 students, the 12th straight year of growth at CBU. Dr. Ellis, thank you so much for joining us today on the Explore Riverside Weekly Show.
It's a privilege to be here. Looking forward to it.
Well, before we begin, we'd like to kick the show off by having our guests tell our listeners a little bit about themselves. So let's take a few minutes and get some background on you.
Well, I was born in Louisiana, but from the age of 5 to 13, I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
Back in the 60s, it was about 100,000 people back then.
Much so different than
much different
what it is,
than
now,
it is today. Yeah, growing up there was like that TV show, The Wonder Years. Mm. You know, it was just you rode our bikes everywhere.
And, suburbia.
Yeah, yeah, just had a wonderful time. And then have lived in several places in my career, Texas, Louisiana, and 5 years in Kentucky before we came out here in 1994. So we just completed 18 years here in Riverside.
Has it seemed like 18 years?
Gone by very fast. Our two sons were 11 and 9 when we moved out here. In January, my older son will be 30.
30. Now, do they get better? Because I have a son, 15 going on 5, and I have a daughter, 11 going on 50. So
it
does get easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're always your children. And, of course, we have our grandchildren as well, and that's really a precious thing. And
one?
Four.
Four, okay.
And one on the way.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start off talking about these CBU enrollment numbers. If I'm correct, you've seen about a 600% increase since you began your tenure as president. What do you attribute this growth to?
Well, we came with an attitude of building a university committed to the Great Commission. You know, Christ said in Matthew 20:19-20, go teach, baptize disciples to the ends of the earth. And we've kind of taken that pretty seriously. The idea is to be of service to your fellow man and to minister to them through, in our case, education. Teaching and meeting needs, and we've looked around and we do an environmental scan, look at what the programming that would be appropriate for us to offer that is a niche out in the marketplace, and then we've tried to deliver those with quality, and that's sort of some of the secret sauce, I guess.
So when you're talking to a student, obviously you go out, you recruit students, you're marketing the university. What's your sales pitch? What is it that you feel that really drives the students to the campus?
Well, we're looking for students who are interested in more of a holistic approach. Most of our students come to the campus, and a large number live on the campus. So if you're looking for a residential experience in a conservative Christian environment, and with very strong academics, sort of combining those together, more traditional values environment, it's probably worth a second look for us. And I always encourage people when they're looking, thinking about where to go to campus, the most important part is probably the campus visit. We encourage people to come visit, eat in the cafeteria, sit in on a class, really get to meet some people. And they'll probably either turn you on or turn you off.
Right.
And we want people who are looking for what we're offering. Is that a good match for them? And evidently, it has been a good match for a number of people. But that's who we are and what we offer. A lot of components to it. So we put a lot of effort into making sure the campus culture is an exciting place, challenging, very family-oriented, looking, to have people really join and become a Lancer, or the Lancer Nation, and just become part of the group.
Well, I know, and if you're a listener out there, you have not been to Cal Baptist brunch at all, to the cafeteria, you need to go visit that. I know we at the office, we sometimes head over there, and then on Sundays, the brunch is incredible. So I know that's if a student likes to eat, then Cal Baptist is definitely a place to go. You talked about a holistic approach. And that goes in line with CBU's mission. And it says that every person has been created for a purpose. Can you
right.
can you talk about that?
Yeah, we firmly believe that every human being is created by God, and there's a unique purpose for each person. We don't have the same purpose, but God has something specifically for each one of us to do. And we think that a part of our unique environment is helping each individual discover what that purpose is, helping equip them to accomplish that, and then to give them experiences and education that helps them along that path.
And then, so you talk about the holistic approach. There's academic. I know you're a big sports fan.
Yes.
I'm a big sports fan. And you've been instrumental in the development and improvement of a number of sports facilities, including the completion of the Lancer Aquatic Center, renovation of the Van Dyne Gym, the Outdoor Athletic Complex, and improvements to the John C. Funk Softball Stadium and James W. Toteman Baseball Stadium. I mean, this is quite an investment. These are a lot of projects that have taken place. How important to the campus and the athletic program are these facilities?
Oh, I think, again, we look at all of the different components that goes into the environment. So we want to have a really strong baseball, soccer, aquatics program, whatever, so that you've got the right coaches, they recruit the right players, we represent well, we have competitive athletics, it fits our purpose, and so forth. Everybody's having a good experience. But part of that is the playing surface, and it's the environment that's created there. I love architecture and what's called great good spaces, you know, and they just come in all different kinds of ways. There's great good spaces indoors or outdoors. So if you're going to a baseball or softball game, what are those elements that really kind of make this a unique experience, not only for the athletes on the field and the coaching and all, but for the parents and the friends and the spectators who are there? And so we put a lot of effort into that. We want it to look like a baseball or softball field, you know, some of that traditional stuff. One of the things you've noticed in the major leagues the last 20 or 30 years, I think it kind of went back. Of course, you got Wrigley and Fenway. But there was an effort back 20 years or so to kind of recall back. If you look at the stadiums that were built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even early 80s, they tended to be sort of nondescript, just capacity builders.
Right.
But after that, starting with Baltimore's Camden Yard, mm-hmm. There was this idea that really hearkening back to those golden 1920s, right. You know, types of stadiums in those downtown areas, Arlington Stadium in baseball in Texas does that as well, and of course most recently down in San Diego, Petco. Mm-hmm. And up in San Francisco, you know, as well. These are just great ball yards.
Where they get an experience.
Yeah,
it's not a cookie cut
exactly.
Stadium. It's like going to Wrigley. I've been to Wrigley Field before. And it's an environment that
That's
you see
right.
people, they've known each other for years, and it's not just going to a baseball game,
right.
it's the entire experience.
Exactly, and that's what we've tried to do there. So we built our baseball, softball fields. Jimmy Topman was a fellow who loved athletics. His tie to the campus, in fact, was that back in the late 60s, early 70s, he built the dormitories, and then didn't have much contact with the school until later in his life, and we kind of reconnected with him. And then when he passed away, he left quite a large estate, but he always loved athletics.
Right.
So we designated those funds to rebuild from scratch the baseball and softball in his memory. And so that was where that got started. The Aquatic Center, the same kind of thing. It really creates an environment when you go there that's exciting. And so you just have a lot of the senses are being touched as you're watching the ball game. But you even go further with it. You know, you want to smell that popcorn. You mm-hmm. want to eat the peanuts. You know, I mean, there's just things you associate.
Right, right.
The hot dogs, you know, you feel the grilling going on out there. So really try to put a lot of that into it. And part of this, again, is helping people come to our campus, have a holistic experience. But also part of it is our ministry idea that we really want to serve with excellence. Mm-hmm. And people have memories, and we want to create those really great, good moments.
And there's nothing like a good sports moment. There's nothing
that's
like
exactly
going
right.
to the field and catching a good game. Well, let's move from sports over to academics. I saw a study that a significant number of the population over 25 years has less than a bachelor's degree. And many of these people are trying to get back into school to better themselves and further their education. But they need to schedule classes around their work. I know CBU is working hard to address this through their online and professional studies program.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this program, we've been servicing the adult market, it's called, those non-traditional over 25 and over market, really since the early 80s, I believe 1983, 84. They started with a master's degree in behavioral sciences. But since I've been there, we've really cranked that up quite a bit. And we have around 1,000 students who participate in that program right now. In the last couple of years, we've expanded into the online. And so there are different options. Some students in those programs will come and take their classes totally on the campus or an off-campus location. Others might take what's called a blended class. Blended class is where maybe one day a week you come and have the lecture meeting, and then the other session is just totally online. And then the third option is, and we have some programs for this too, like we have a master's degree in disability studies that has students in it from all over the country and even a couple international students, and they never set foot on our campus until they may come for the commencement service.
So they're doing everything, entire
totally,
coursework
the whole program
online.
Is totally online. And so we're trying to get the different programs to have the multiple options, so whatever meets your needs. And it might be that you start out in this mode, and then your circumstances or interests change, your schedule changes, and so you say, I may want to take one of those blended classes or totally online or totally on campus. And so we try to be flexible to meet the needs of our changing student environment and their changing needs.
We're going to take a short commercial break. I got another question regarding
sure.
that. And we will come right back here on the Explorative Society Weekly Show with Dr. Ronald Ellis, president of Cal Baptist University.
Enjoy the magic this holiday season in the millions of sparkling lights and hundreds of displays at the 20th annual Riverside Festival of Lights. Be a part of the holiday fun, which includes a beautifully decorated Mission Inn, entertainment, shopping, and dining along Main Street, and an outdoor ice skating rink where festival goers have a unique opportunity to skate under the stars and millions of twinkling holiday lights. Every Wednesday is family night, where four can skate for one low rate of $35. Ice skating rink is open every day except Christmas Day from now until January 5th. And new this year is the Artisans Collective, open Thursdays through Sundays during the festival. Artisans Collective is an innovative arts market that includes workshops and performance art for all to enjoy. Don't miss your opportunity to be part of this spectacular Riverside tradition. Festival of Lights begins November 23rd and runs until January 5th. For more information, visit RiversideFestivalOfLights.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
Hello and welcome back to Explore Riverside Weekly. I'm Greg Lee, and our guest today is California Baptist University President Dr. Ronald Ellis. Dr. Ellis, your international service project has sent students to more than 40 countries, allowing them the opportunity to minister around the globe. Give our audience a picture of exactly what these projects are and what's its effect on the students who have the opportunity to be involved.
We started these programs probably 16 years ago or so. And it was a pretty small program. The idea was to give our students and faculty and staff an opportunity to experience another culture for most of these are 3 weeks at a time. But we also wanted them to be service projects. So it's very much project oriented. So we find these locations around the world where we can partner with services or ministries. And then the idea too is we want to go back year after year after year. I'll give you some examples. In St. Petersburg, Russia, we have partnered with an orphanage for several years. We select these teams. Usually there's a process the students apply and they're looking for team chemistry and their interest level. And then about October, they make their application, they get selected. And then they meet a couple times a month, getting ready for this, where they learn about where they're going to be going, what they're going to be doing, and really getting ready so that when they get there, they know the culture of the area, they know what their tasks are going to be, and how the team is going to interact. So with this orphanage, we send a team over for 3 weeks, and then when they come back, another team goes mm-hmm. for another 3 weeks. So they get 6 straight weeks of additional folks. There's usually 8 to 10 people in a group, and that's usually 1 or 2 chaperones, a faculty staff, or somebody from outside the community that wants to go, and they have to attend all these meetings and go through the orientation process as well. And the students raise their own money, mm-hmm. so we help them with the fundraising as well.
So the students are raising all the funds for this trip to cover the expenses for the trip?
Other, we do get some donations, a lot of donations as well. So, but yeah, that's part of the process, is raising the money for their trip. So it's a self-sustaining thing. It doesn't impact the operation budget of the university. It's a self-sustaining program. And then we want to go back year after year after year. So we're doing these things. Other activities, there's refugee camp, I believe, in Berlin that we've gone to. Mark and I were over in the Middle East several years ago, and we visited one of our teams in Istanbul that was doing sports camps in that area. So it's really depending on what we have in Tokyo, the Yokohama area. We partner with a church. The pastor is one of our board members, and we send a musical group over every year, and they sing at schools and churches and things like that. And they're put up in the houses of church members and so forth. So they get to experience that culture. Probably our largest one, a partnership, is in Rwanda. And this really was put together due to the work of our alum, Rick Warren, pastor at Saddleback Church, author of Purpose Driven Life.
Right.
And all. He and his wife, Kay, they met at CBU as students back in the 70s. They were over in Rwanda, and she had really gotten very involved with the worldwide AIDS crisis. And that HIV/AIDS crisis really is centered there in Rwanda. They've lost a lot of kids are orphanage. They also had the genocide back in 1994. That's a nation of about 9 million people. Nearly a million people were killed during this civil war in a very, like 100 days or something. And so a lot of the kids, even who come to CBU now from there, were very young when that occurred.
Now you have students that actually, because I've been on campus, you have
with over 50
from
students
Rwanda.
From Rwanda, okay. Through a partnership. And so when I saw what was going on over there, I talked to our folks and said, hey, we need to get involved with this. So again, Dr. Wyatt and I went over and we met with the president in his office in Kigali. And that was set up by Rick Warren. And we were able to sign an agreement between CBU and the government of Rwanda, where they send students over that by the agreement, and this is the government's requirement, not ours, that they must major in either engineering or a hard science, like they're going to become a doctor or scientist or something. And so we go over, send a couple of people over. They interview from the top high school graduates each year, make the selections. And we're not the only school that does it. There are several in some other states that do this. And then they come, and they stay 2 years at our campus. They go back for the summer. And they usually do an internship in their major back there through the government. And then they come back for their junior and senior year, and they stay till they graduate. And then they have a four or five-year work obligation to go back and work there. However, many of the graduates get accepted into doctoral programs or choose to work for a year to gain valuable experience. And so that's been, but it's really nation building is why they're sent over here. So the idea is that they will come here, become a civil engineer, electrical engineer, whatever, maybe a physician, and then they will go back to their country
and take those skills back.
And do nation building. It's really an exciting to watch what's happening in Rwanda. That is a very small nation, but they're a leader in fiber optics and just a number of things in really being entrepreneurial. It's quite exciting to see what that country is developing.
And Cal Baptist can take a small credit for that.
Small part of the puzzle, but it's really fulfilling. And so we send a lot of teams over. We also partner with the NUR, the National University of Rwanda, and in Butare, where we work with English as a second language, because their system has their native tongue is one of the Swahili languages. Their educational system has been French, but they've been converting to English over the last few years. So we work with their university professors and teachers to teach them English, because they're going to be teaching English, and that's going to be the language that is the language of instruction now. So that's another one of those opportunities for us to send teams over to help with that conversion to English. and but a lot of different programs we have in Rwanda working with them.
Now, how about here in the States? Do you have something similar in the States as well?
Yes. We have the ISP teams, that's the International Service Projects, but we also have the USP, the United States Projects, and these are mainly centered in urban areas, Baltimore, New York, San Francisco, where again we're looking to partner with someone who's got some kind of urban type of either ministry or service project, where we can go in and take the skill sets that the students have and do things. For example, in New York, our graphics design program spent a couple of weeks up there last year, and they basically did websites for area churches and other types of service programs. So they might have not had one at all, or it was really not very well done and needed to be enhanced. So we sent a team of faculty members up there, a couple faculty members with 6 or 8 students.
So same amount of teams as the ones that go.
Right. And before we go, they're getting prepared. We're corresponding with these churches or ministries or outreach areas that might want a website or needs to be upgraded. They know what they're going to be doing when they get there. Then when they get there, that's what they do.
Right.
So it's really taking the skill sets and matching those with appropriate ministries and saying, and a great thing for the ministries is there's no cost to them. We do this as a service. So when we send folks to an orphanage in Russia or somewhere, you know, in Africa, to Rwanda or to New York City or San Francisco to help out, it doesn't really cost them anything. A lot of times they might provide housing and maybe some meals, but, you know, it's very low
cost. No cost coming out of,
that's right,
out of their product.
Right.
Well, let's fast forward. I know there's a ton of stuff going on at Cal Baptist here. What excites you most about the future of the campus? Are there any particular projects you are especially looking forward to being completed or starting?
Right. Yeah, as the campus gets built out, one of our challenges since I've been there, because we've had rapid growth for an extended period of time, is making sure we have capacity. And so right now, we just brought on a 56,000 square foot business building, which is just marvelous. It's got a wonderful atrium in it. It's right, if people know our campus, it's between the Alumni Dining Commons and the Music Building on Campus Bridge Drive. If you get a chance to stop by, it's just an absolutely gorgeous building.
And that's completed now?
It just was completed. We dedicated it in August, and so we're utilizing it. We also are working what used to be Adams Plaza on right off the freeway, the 91. We now call that Lancer Plaza, and we're in the process of converting that over time to our campus. The project that's underway now will be completed in December and open for student use in January is the Recreation Center, the Rec Center. It's 42,000 square feet on 2 floors. Think of like an LA Fitness type of operation. But then on the roof, there's another like 12,000 square feet. Up there, we'll have lights, netting, artificial turf, walking track, and inside that will be an artificial turf mini soccer field. And it's got a pretty spectacular view up there as well.
Wait, on top of the building?
Yes.
We'll have a soccer field.
That's right. Yeah, it's a mini soccer field up there. And again, netting around it, lights up there, and we can hold, I think the capacity is 510 people
and
up there.
And this is where on the campus? Is this at Lancer's Plaza?
Plaza, right. Yes.
And will that be a new entrance for the campus? Because I know
yes.
It's on Adams. And
right. That's several years away. But, yeah, that whole area will be, over time, will be turned into our campus. We'll move our bookstore there. In fact, we probably the next year will be developing what we call the north part. And the campus bookstore, a number of our student services offices will be moved over there. And we'll continue to convert and build that out over the next 5 or 6 years. But that will become a major entrance to the campus.
So you have your hands full. You've got campus enrollment going up. You've got
a lot of fun.
Public facilities being built as well. We really appreciate your time. We're running out of time here. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it. And congratulations on all the success that's taken place on the campus.
All right. Blessings.
Thank you so much. And make sure you tune in to Explore Riverside Weekly every Saturday at 2:30. You can also visit us on the web at exploreriverside.com.